It's breakfast with a side of news. The Brown Roofing Melissa in the Morning Diner Tour is live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
I am excited to have back for a third year in a row. Bob Azzoni is here with Sound Waters. And Bob, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Great. It's great to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. And it only took me 3 years to also realize that you're a hockey coach.
I am a hockey coach at Darien Youth Hockey, yep.
Wow. And you do 7 and 8 year olds.
Yep, mites.
Well, yes, my son is going to be a mite in the fall. I'm very excited. Wow. Look at us. Even more to connect on. I'm very excited about that. What, first of all, for people who are not familiar with Sound Waters, what is it that you guys do?
We connect young people to Long Island Sound. So even though you think Long Island Sound is there, it's part of everybody's life every day. You see it, but very few people actually have access to it. And when you think that you don't have access to our region's greatest natural resource, Sound Waters is the organization that will connect students from kindergarten all the way through high school to Long Island Sound.
When you say connect, what does that mean? Like, what kind of programs are you offering?
School buses will come to Sound Waters every day, and students will go into the water. They'll go on the water in boats. They'll be in a lab where they're studying water. They're learning about the health of the water and what makes a healthy Long Island Sound. Because if Long Island Sound is not healthy, the whole region relies on it in one way or another. And so we are the idea behind Sound Waters is that if people understand Long Island Sound, they'll care about it. And if they care about it, they'll want to take care of it.
Yeah, exactly. What has been kind of these moments? I know you and I have sort of talked about it before, that they're like aha moments for kids. I mean, tell us about those, especially I would think in real time, you're sort of seeing where it connects, and then they probably take those stories back to their parents later on that day.
Every day.
Really?
So today there'll be 40 or 50 kids who will go out on our ship. We have a schooner that sails every day in addition to doing land-based programs. And they'll trawl, which is running a net along the bottom of the Sound, and they'll bring up animals. And those animals will vary from flounder to, you know, tin cans to horseshoe crabs and all different types of fish. So now you take a horseshoe crab out of a trawl net and you put it in front of a 10-year-old. They've never seen it before. It looks scary. It looks dangerous. And 3 or 4 minutes later, they're holding the horseshoe crab. They understand that it's not dangerous. They understand how old it is, how incredibly old it is, how it's a living fossil on our Earth. And I like to say that the Long Island Sound now is then demystified for that student for the rest of their life, because they now understand what's under that water, what's in that water, why it matters to them, why it matters to the animals, and why we need to make sure that the sound is healthy so that animals like that can thrive for another 450 million years.
Yeah. How long has Sound Waters been around?
Since 1989. So
wow.
We're about 36, 37 years old.
That's amazing. I feel like, so that is so interesting. Have you found that in that 30 plus year range, you had students who now, and I don't know how in touch you are with them, but have you ever had people come back and say, you know, because I went through this program or because I got so connected at a young age, this is now something I'm teaching my kids, or this is now, you know, why if I see trash at a beach, it immediately gets thrown out or something. Have you seen kind of now that generational where that impact happens, you know, when they're young and it carries into their adulthood?
Only every single day.
Seriously?
Every single day. So I'm not wearing a Sound Waters logo right now, but if I were, it's hard to walk down the street in Sanford and have somebody not say to you, I did Sound Waters when I was little.
Really?
I received an email just yesterday extolling the experience that this young professional now works at Pepsi. Had at Sound Waters growing up. I mean, it was...
Wow.
It is amazing to hear. It's very gratifying to hear. But that is the impact. People do not forget when they do hands-on learning, which is what we do. They do not forget those experiences. It is they're oftentimes their first, in some cases their only, really true connection to the natural world.
Mm.
And they do not forget it, and they do not forget Sound Waters. It's really exciting when people approach us with stories like that.
I was thinking about you, Bob, because there was an article recently talking about how many of the lobster traps have now been removed from Long Island Sound, which we've been following that very closely on my show personally, because I, like you, very much care about Long Island Sound, born and raised in Connecticut, love this natural resource and want to protect it as much as possible. But it was something like they had hit a milestone number of lobster traps. I can't remember the article. I apologize for that. But I was thinking about about you, because top of mind, I thought, wow, that, I mean, in X amount of years, they were able to really do a lot of great work. I mean, talk a little bit about why Soundwaters, why you guys are so focused on the health and taking care of Long Island Sound.
Well, it's, I mean, there's economic reasons, there's health reasons, there's community strength reasons. When Soundwaters was started, Long Island Sound was in really, really, really poor health and heading in the wrong direction. And the simple reason behind that is us. Is us. Long Island Sound will do just fine on its own.
Mm.
And it will thrive on its own. But there are 8 million people who live in what is called the Long Island Sound watershed, which is the area of 5 states and 2 countries, the United States and Canada, where every part of their day flushes down into Long Island Sound through the various rivers and things that run down from New Hampshire, Vermont, through Massachusetts and through Connecticut, right down into the Sound. So what happens upstream, what happens around us, matters. We like to say if it goes on the ground, it ends up in the Sound.
Mm-hmm.
And so the closer we get to understanding and appreciating that, which is what we do every day with students, the more we can control that. Now, Long Island Sound since 1989 is in markedly better health. We never call it healthy because it's under that pressure every day.
Sure.
But it is much, much healthier. And that's due to organizations like Soundwaters. It's also due to federal, state, and local regulation.
Mm-hmm.
But we can all take a win there. We can also take pride in the fact that you know, Long Island Sound is one of the United States' ecological success stories.
Mm.
And that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
We're not done. There are other issues that matter to us now, and it's unlikely that young people woke up worried about the health of Long Island Sound, but it is entirely possible now that young people are waking up worried about the future of the planet.
Yeah, it's true.
It's their planet. It's the planet they're going to inherit, and it's in crisis, you know, depending on who you want to ask about it. And so we've pivoted a little bit where Long Island Sound was our focus. Long Island Sound is still our focus, but now we use it as a classroom where we are teaching about those issues that will affect the natural world on a global basis.
Wow.
Climate change, microplastics, things like that, because those are the things that young people are going to have to deal with. So we are, in fact, still preparing young people for their future.
Mm, I love that. And so obviously you have a lot of programming throughout the school year. What happens during the summertime?
Yeah, we flip a switch. We flip a switch in about 3 weeks, and we'll be sailing. We'll still be doing science, but it's we have children all day instead of just for, you know, 3-4 hours. We have them all day. We have them every day. We'll have them for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and they'll be having fun on the Sound. They'll be sailing. They'll, again, be connecting to the Sound. And some people, connection comes through sailing. Some people, it comes through science. And others, it might be through art. So we have an art program. We started integrate art into a lot of our summer programs because
awesome.
Some young people will relate to the natural world through that
creative
means.
Brain.
Yeah.
Mm, I love that. That is so cool. When you say art, I mean, is it, and forgive me if this sounds elementary, but is it kind of using the natural world to create art, or how, like, what is your art program? Because that's really cool.
I guess it's when you want to talk about, you know, ask your son when he comes home from school and ask him some of these questions. And some people will describe it with a picture that they drew.
Mm.
And some people will describe it through the horseshoe crab or the science that they did. And some people will come home in the summer and they'll describe it through sailing. They'll say, I did this in sailing today. It's how they experience the world.
Got it.
And again, some people will do it through art. Some people
right.
do it through science. Some people do it through reading. And some people do it through things like sailing.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about, you know, when anytime we go to the beach, my son will actually, this is where the creative, I love that. He will, whenever he picks up trash, he will collect it. He's got a little bag at home. And then when he has enough to fill a poster board, he will either glue or tape or put it to a poster board. And then, I mean, for years we did this, and he would, you know, either bring it to the class for show and tell, or he would just keep it, bring it to family dinners, whatever. And he would be like, this is what was on my beach in the last month. And so it was, you know, art for him, but that's what clicked for him, was being able to visually see how we can clean up, for example. So when I think about art, I think, you know, is it kind of like the treasure hunts where, hey, I found this and this and this on the beach, or, you know, however that looks. That's what I was asking.
And what's exciting is he sounds like he came to that himself.
He did. It bothers him. Oh my gosh. I mean, he alarms me sometimes, Bob, I've got to be honest. I feel like he is a traffic issue, honestly. We will be in parking lots, and he will be that kid that will dart if it's like, hey, where did that bag come from? It's like, I don't know, but you're going to get hit by a car. Can we not pick up the trash or at least look both ways before we cross the street? So, yes, he did come to that conclusion on its own, but he gives me heart attacks a little bit, yeah. I will admit. But yeah,
that sensitivity is really amazing in a young person.
I think it's really cool to hear now, 36 years later, that you're seeing generationally what an impact you're having on those original students and still having so many years later on the up-and-coming students. So I want to thank you, Bob, and your entire team at Sound Waters for what you do. And people can check you out online?
Yes, soundwaters.org. Really simple.
Simple as that. Bob, thank you again. 3 years in a row on the Diner Tour.
Melissa,
look at you.
It is my pleasure to be here. It's one of my favorite diners, too.
Oh, I know, right? Elm Street. It can't get better than that. Well, Bob, I appreciate you, and thank you. Have a happy summer.
Great. Thank you very much, Melissa.
Thank you. We are going to be right back. Stop number 5 for the Brown Roofing Melissa in the Morning Diner Tour. We're at Elm Street Diner in Stamford after this.